Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, this is Mark Wahlberg, and things wouldn't have went down like they did if I hosted my favorite podcast, Hey Fam.
Hi, this is Tom Cruise, and your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to listen to this really, really great Sanspanse radio podcast. Wow.
Whoa. The Disgusting Brothers.
They're back. Yeah.
The podcast rebrand.
Yeah, we're now going by the Disgusting Brothers. We are climbing our way to the top of Australian media. Who is the Australian Logan Roy?
I was going to say, who are the
Rove Australian... Rove McManus?
Who's the Australian Disgusting Brothers?
Well,
already?
That's us.
Fitzy and Whipper.
Fitzy and Whipper, yeah. Cheese TV, maybe.
Oh, yeah, right.
To dial it back a little bit, maybe. But yeah, who is the Logan Roy figure of Australia?
For us,
I mean, it's easy for us to say
Summers.
Rupert Murdoch. It's Daryl Summers, you're
yeah.
right.
I feel like, yeah, like
Disgusting
you said.
Brothers, Aussie and Dickie.
Yep.
All right, let's do the whole succession cut. Red. Red is like Tom.
Okay.
Or has he got more like pizzazz?
I think he's definitely, Red's definitely a sibling.
Yeah, Red, Wilbur are siblings.
Yeah.
Wilbur gives me Connor Roy energy, don't you think? Like he's happy doing his thing.
Connor Roy's running in politics. What we're talking about,
and
having the best time right now.
Wilbur is wailing on the sax.
Yeah, for sure.
I see that. Shiv is whichever female host.
Tracy Marie or something?
Tracy.
Is that her name?
I don't know.
Anne Marie.
Joe Beth Taylor. No, she.
Yeah, that would make sense. Or Sonia something.
Sonia something. Joe Beth Taylor was a definite like host of Australia's Funniest Home Videos.
Joe Beth Taylor was a definite baddie.
She was certified honey, certified lover girl.
She was the host of
Australia's Funniest Home Videos.
And also before that, she was the host of whatever Channel 9 program showed all of the Looney Tunes shorts.
Yeah, they had like a like an after-school show.
That's how, like, yeah, you would basically get like sexually assaulted by Daryl Summers on Hey Hey It's Saturday.
Yeah.
Then you would do
that,
host.
That pushed you hush money and go like, now you're...
Now you can introduce the
Bugs
Bunny shorts.
Now you have to
shorts.
Like talk to children who aren't in the room with you and act like a fool.
And then eventually you would get Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah, it's like and it's very Succession. Like that's what you do. You start off in parks. You know, you get sexually assaulted on cruises.
Yep.
Then you work your way back up and eventually you run
true.
The company. Cousin Greg, Plucker Duck.
Dickie Knee.
Dickie Knee's got two... He's two on the ball.
Dickie he literally Knee, is on a ball.
Yeah,
he Dickie is. Knee is. Basically all you see from the audience's point of view is just a hat and a mullet, I guess. But
yeah,
it's literally a ball and a stick. Wearing
I just got
a great
alert on my phone. And it's a little rubbing salt in the wound. It's the PlayStation app has just said that a Japanese rail scene Journey to Kyoto is 50% off right now. So today's the day I finally get my PlayStation fixed. I might be spending a lot of money doing it, but I'm saving money on the Kyoto.
Oh, I mean, especially when you get all these
also,
posts of me
funny,
being in Japan. I'm going to post a lot of train content over the next 3 weeks. You're going to want the train simulator.
One of my fondest Japan memories is when I went to like one of their like incredible arcades. It was in Hiroshima. I forget what it was called. It was near the Hiroshima Parco. But they had
the Fastos arcade.
They had the entire... it was the Fastos's fun zone. And it was like the amazing setup was, I think I sent you video, I definitely sent video footage of it to you, and you're in like four OLEDs are around you and they're like the same fun as a JR train. And you're just like going at a, you're just like running
driver.
A nice speed. Like you're not
exactly.
about going fast. It's about stopping. And I went like the Yamanote line.
It's about calmly stopping.
Yeah. Yeah. Being on time, though. Being on time,
absolutely.
Respecting signal lights, you know, and like I went from Shibuya to Harajuku to Shinjuku. I was just doing the Yamanote and I was like this, and it was like one of the best moments of my life. And that's when I like...
You're just two OLEDs away from recreating that in your living
room. You know, like to be a train driver in Japan, it's like being like a firefighter here and like a lawyer, essentially. Like you have to like... It is like one of the hardest and most respectful jobs to get.
Mm.
Like, and I kind of love that. But yeah, Daryl Summers is Logan Roy.
Definitely. And the rest just, you know, you can work out the rest.
Dickie Nee reminds me of Hugo, you know, the guy that pops up in season two onwards about parks.
He's too mild. He's too small a character.
No, but he's kind of like got a big head. He's got like a small frame and a large head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's Hugo. I think he has to be one of the core characters.
I'll let you know who's Hugo.
Like looking forward, we're going to try and record about 6 episodes of Hey Fam today.
Yeah,
so
there'll probably be half the cast will be dead when this is.
Oh, half the Hey cast, great, perfect, or at least
half
in jail.
The Succession cast.
But yeah, as I mentioned, I am going to Japan very soon, and so we're trying to bank.
Who is Harry Connick Jr.?
Who
the American
famously
people?
Called out? Yeah, no,
Kendall Roy.
You think Kendall Roy?
Because you
Harry
know Kendall's
Jr.?
Like performative. Holding like my dad's bad. Like you know how he's doing that to.
What
like,
about the politician that Shiv works for? That could be Harry Connick Jr.
No politician that
no
works
one successfully
with Shiv
called
is,
out
Tony
the
Abbott
Roys.
On Hey Hey It's Saturday.
who's Lloyd from Entourage?
Who's gay in Succession? Maybe Roman.
Sure. Okay.
Potentially.
Yeah, okay. All right.
But I see Kendall Roy being Harry Connick Jr. Like making the. I mean, obviously, you know, call out systemic abuse, call out racism, but also doing it. With like essentially a press gallery around you.
I mean, no, that's what Harry, I think Harry Connick Jr. like deserves an accolade.
Oh, does Kendall for calling out that. Like, that's what I mean. It's like.
He didn't do it with like, he just happened to be on TV when he called it out. It wasn't like he called his publicist to make sure it was
but
okay.
What I propose to you is would Harry Connick Jr. have called that out if cameras weren't rolling?
Yeah, I mean, I think so.
Are you sure? Well, how do you know? Do you know him?
Well, no, because the cameras stopped rolling and then he, as soon as they came back from commercial break, like Daryl was like, "Oh, well, we better address this." So he did. He did bring it up when the cameras weren't on.
But if there was no TV show, would he brought it up?
Don't try and drag the great Harry Connick Jr.'s name through the mud.
I'm not dragging. I'm just getting you to like maybe stop. You know, Mandela affecting.
This is legitimately what happened.
I know it's what happened, but what I was saying is, if cameras weren't rolling, if this was
they
not
weren't rolling though. We've established.
But
this.
It still went to air. This thing's not live either. Hey Hey Saturday is famously not shot live.
Hmm. But so they like, finish the segment and then they go away for a bit and they come back and Daryl Summers says, "Oh, I was just talking to Harry and you're not happy about what, that last segment." And then he calls it out.
It's pretty amazing that he asks like to explain
yeah.
why he didn't like...
Harry, can you explain what racism is?
Why he didn't like 8 middle-aged white Australian guys with Afro wigs, shoe polish on their face and was like, "What's wrong with this picture?"
Yeah, if you look up... I think if you just
Joe
Google,
Taylor
hey,
tried
hey,
telling
it's
me once.
Racism... That the first link will be a news article to when that happened.
Yep.
In like the mid-2000s.
It was like 2010 or something.
They should put that on one of the fucking, like own the history of it. He put Harry Connick Jr. on one of the Australian bills of money. Give him $10 note.
I'm surprised he's not like hosting Australian Idol or The Voice or something. Like that seems like something he's...
There was
actually,
a backlash. People hated
is
him.
Is he?
Is he?
I actually think he is.
Harry Connick Jr. watch.
I think he is hosting something.
I'm sure he's hosting something. I don't know if it's in
Australia.
I'm
pretty sure he's
though.
In Australia, though.
That's crazy. Yeah. Welcome back. What's he going to call? It should be like Harry Connick Jr. calls out
yeah.
the bullshit.
Harry Connick Jr.
Him just going after the anti-woke media.
Yeah, he's host of Australian Idol. I knew that rang a bell.
That's fucking crazy. That
Harry's
that
feud with Kyle blamed on chair placement. So he's already getting in his foot. Look, I think call out racism is amazing, but I also think Harry Connick Jr.'s now got a taste for like, okay, I'm going to call out shit every
I mean, this
time.
Is like... A decade and a half since then, and he's
Kyle Sanderlands reveals the truth about his feud with Australian Idol judge Harry. So Harry's like obviously got no problem with Australia. He's coming back and taking more of that pissweak dollar.
That's so funny. He also like
look at that shit.
He's not really a known pop star anymore. Like no one knows. I only
no, he's
whispered
not at all.
His biggest hit was I just whispered your name or whatever.
25 years,
which
ago.
Had like a fucking saxophone. A Wilbur from Hey Hey would have loved.
There are so many great local shit press stories, like the words Harry Connick Jr. gave to Australian Idol's Harry Hayden, and it's probably like I don't know who anyone. I don't know who that is, but it's probably
fuck,
like
you know what Harry Connick Jr. was in. Independence Day.
Yeah, he was either ID4, I call it.
Fucking goated.
Remember all the branding when that movie came out was just ID4? Because they were just like, kids hate words. let's make this fucking thing cool. Let's make it sound like a maybe like a strain of flu, but also like a skatewear brand.
ID4 blew my fucking mind when I saw it at the Edge Cinema in the Blue Mountains. I saw it while edging the Edge. But the Edge Cinema is like a, I guess like the precursor to IMAX. Except when they showed a regular movie, it would just be like in the middle of this giant screen. So like it would just watching Independence Day surrounded by all this blank empty space. But it went hard. Loved that movie.
Edge ran so IMAX could.
But look, if you like movies with the word four in them, you're going to love this episode because we're going to be talking about John Wick 4.
Chapter 4. It's called Chapter 4. It's a book. The Book of Wick.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 4.
This is the books that you read. I read books.
You read books of pictures. I read books about movies.
That are movies.
Yeah.
But
if you read the screenplay, that's kind of meeting in the middle.
Before we get into that, I want to...
I
love to start an episode by giving you a gift.
You're so generous. Like, you're very generous. I'm feeling very...
Okay, well, I'll start by being reverse generous because I saw this in my house the other day. I realized you gave it to me.
So you're doing... I'm, and look... Harry Connick Jr. won't like this term.
No, is this a certain type of giving? So I'm giving this back to you. You gave this to me when you went to Japan a long time ago. But
this is me. Yeah. This is me deciding. This is great. Thank you.
It's an Iron Man fridge magnet
with Fuji-san.
Japanese iconography.
Has Skytree. And that's when I went to the Infinity War thing I was telling you about.
At Tokyo Skytree.
So that's Skytree there and Fuji-san behind.
I'm actually giving it back to you because we don't have a magnetic fridge anymore. Sure. I have nowhere to put that. And I thought maybe you want to remember when the MCU was worth anything to you.
Yeah, no. I mean, this was Infinity War. This was peak.
Anyway, remember MCU because we're going to get back to that very soon. But first, your other actual favorite franchise... My favorite brand of Japanese mints.
Oh,
I got you. Amazing. Your two favorites.
They're so beautiful. Like, wow.
So they're Star Wars limited edition Mintia mints.
What's interesting is that they're characters from the prequels. Like,
well, so they have all the characters. You can get Kylo one. Yeah. Well, you said you wanted Anakin, and I was like, thank you so much. Can't just get you Anakin.
No.
So I had to get you.
And look, they go together. See the line being drawn between the two sabers.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
fuck, I love those boys.
It finally happened, my friend. Something that we have been wanting to happen for months now.
Jamie Kennedy finally did a cameo.
No, it's something that we've both had our eye on. One of us had to get it. And so obviously you need someone to protect you while I'm overseas. And I can think of no one better than White Panther.
Fucking hell. Oh my God. Okay. Well, this is, why don't we have joint custody of this?
Yeah, sure. Shout out to our listener, Tim, who found this for me.
I love that he comes with like an axe for one of the like Na'vi characters.
Is it a tumor? Is that, I think, yeah, no, oh, that, that's tumor. One of the,
The
water people.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He comes with one item, which is great. It's a gun.
We're talking about, Ross Marvel Legends action figure.
This is crazy.
Because I think now that we've stopped collecting Son of the Mask merchandise.
Now we're moving on to MCU characters. Unremarkable. Yeah.
Well,
we've got Kingo already.
We have a Kingo action figure each.
Yeah.
You gave me the keyring of Taika Waititi's character from Lightyear.
Yeah. The guy who's probably got two dads.
And what's the... Oh, yeah. And of course...
Tomorrowland. Started
George Clooney's character from Tomorrowland action figure.
Character's name is George Clooney from Tomorrowland.
That's like the funniest thing I own. I love just hiding it somewhere around my office.
This is amazing. This is like really... I'm loving Everett Ross.
So, yeah, I've got so many of these figures. You need one.
Would you say Everett Ross is serving cunt in this?
Absolutely.
It's a bummer he's not coming with AirPods or like a Red Hot Chili Peppers ticket stub.
Or like a jogging alternate outfit.
That's amazing. So I'd say like lowest tier Marvel character.
And yet in the first movie, I quite like him.
Because you relate to him on a level that...
He's like Anakin.
But you relate to him on a level. You're like, why is this character like, why am I feel so safe around him? why am I really relating to this white character? Oh, I get it now. So, I was bummed he wasn't in Infinity War. I thought he would have been fine just hanging out in Wakanda.
Yeah, true.
Like going full Rachel Dolezal, you know, like getting maybe some braids in his hair.
They gave him something to do in this second movie. He's so useless in it.
No, he's not. He drives to like the kitchen of his ex-lover's house.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And they talk. So I think that's like actually really important for Black Panther Wakanda Forever. Yeah. A movie about grieving the lost king. I think it's really good that we see him drive around a bit.
Yeah.
And says stuff like, I'll handle it on my end to like the black women in charge of the movie. I think they just like give him a fake job to do so he feels like he's like a white guy in the CIA is still important in 2022.
Yeah, fully. Yeah, so look, that's going to be your protector.
That's awesome.
Anytime you want to, like, you know, he really loves it when you put Red Hot Chili Peppers on the stereo.
They're going to have to melt these down. He'll take a bullet for like, you. To like maybe build sets for the future movies now that their VFX stuff's all in the like.
Man, we are going to get into like what the fuck is happening with the MCU now.
Like, hey, Feige's like probably...
He's been. Look, I said to you last night, he's probably lost so much hair that his hat has a bald spot.
Yeah,
now.
His hat is balding. He like when you know, it's like Icarus. It's anything. It's like you're flying close to the sun. You're gonna have to come down sometime. And
no one knows more about Icarus than Kevin Feige.
No,
who produced the Eternals movie with Icarus.
Yeah, literally. I mean, that was a recce for him. But yeah, it's like I know we've been dunking on Marvel a lot lately, but damn, I mean, the fact we're talking about John Wick 4, like all these things, like
Chapter 4,
tides be turning.
Chappy 4,
that's my favorite. John Wick assassin is the South African robot.
John Wick versus Chappy.
Chappy, I think, deserves a rewatch just because of how batshit it is. I remember, I don't think you've seen that.
No, I haven't.
And we're talking about a few episodes ago, where you know, controversial meme group or whatever. What would you call them?
Like Zeph. Novelty rave.
Yeah, trio. Novelty weird rave. Not even a trio, they're a duo.
A duo, right.
Yolandi and Ninja.
That's so funny that like within a 10-year period, there were two ninjas.
Yeah, and the world just kind of let it happen. Neither of them Japanese.
No.
One South African, one Swedish. Like, I don't think you could get even... That's probably like the most furthest away from Japanese.
Fully.
South Africa is pretty like, you know, they've got a bit of a patchy period with relationships
just a
towards
bit of a patchy.
Black people. Bit much like ink. Japan.
Yeah, yeah.
So, no, I see that. But Sweden's even more. Oh, Sweden kind of got the master race thing going. Actually, you know what? I'll allow it. they've all got some kind of base level racism in their, all of their cultures. Are you looking forward to being like a token white guy on several train carriages?
Oh, no, it's like a fucking holiday period.
You're going to be like
token Japanese guy.
Yeah, token Japanese guy. They're going to be getting the hell out of
here. We're
like
in the middle of cherry blossom season, so it's going to be...
Golden week.
Absolutely. Heck, no, we leave before. I made sure we booked just after spring break, which ends this weekend, and then we leave the week of Golden Week.
Yeah, which is not a great time to be there. Everything's closed.
Well, yeah.
It's busier because all the Japanese folk are...
So hopefully I planned well, but I doubt... I'm sure it's going to be... crazy packed. This morning, though, we got a quick little look at Breath of the Wild 2.
What's
AKA,
not called that?
It's called Breath of the Wild Chapter 2.
Chapter 2. Thank you. I was actually going to say that.
What the fuck's it called again?
It's called Tears of the Kingdom, bitch.
It rolls right off the tongue. And
no, it does.
I loved, you know...
Totka.
I love the... Like, all of the glimpses we got at Breath of the Wild back in the day, how, like, you would... get just like these tidbits of information that would just blow your mind. How is this going to be possible? But that was, remember, like the big thing was like, you won't believe that like the things that you can see in the background, you can climb to them, and you can ride to. That was like the big.
You can pick up anything. Like you don't have a locked in weapon. You're constantly like all that stuff was so mind blowing. I remember at the time, and this shows how old this shows how old Breath of the Wild is. Like, it's like almost 7 years old. Like, it was being called Skyrim. Remember? Like, that was the big comparison. Everyone's like, wow, Zelda's gone Skyrim. And like, you know, then, you know, we've now seen that flipped into Dark Souls has gone Breath of the Wild. But
I think like when that game came out, of equal importance is like the game's physics system, the weapon system, like all of the different abilities that Link has on his iPad.
It was single-handedly the most revolutionary... Well, most evolution that a Zelda game has had, but it was also, in a way, the closest thing to the first ever The Legend of Zelda on NES. Like, that sense of, I can go anywhere, but obviously the NES was restricted by literal physical space and, like, vision and stuff. But, yeah, it was, it really, you know, you read all those stories about, like, when Miyamoto was a kid, he would, like, walk around Kyoto Mountains and stuff. Like, it made you feel that was, like, the game he wanted to...
I've locked Archie into, when we're in Kyoto, we're going to do the pilgrimage to the Kyoto, to the Nintendo building.
I love that I did that with my father, and now you will be the father in that scenario.
Yep.
Yeah, if Archie's anything like me,
Rob passed the torch.
Yeah, and you got to leave at 5 a.m. Just go there at like get there at 6 a.m. It's just a beautiful, and there's a good conbini next door where I was sucking back a Kirin coffee in a can, but it was during the peak Force Awakens stuff. So mine had Han Solo on it.
Oh, hell yeah. Everything was Star Wars themed.
It was the greatest.
I mean, everything might be Mario movie themed, maybe, when I'm there. I'm not sure. I don't know how into the movie Japan is.
Yeah. Look, we don't know. But we'll talk about... We're going to see it next week. Mm-hmm. And we will let you know if we think Japan is into this film or not.
But they are definitely into Tears of the Kingdom. And the big kind of like shocker moment was that one of the mechanics that you have in this new version, is you can fuse items together.
Well, I like to call it the Legend of Zelda Nuts and Bolts. Oh, remember the Banjo-Kazooie game where you built...
But that one you could only make cars. This you can make seemingly anything.
Yeah, but I mean, it's taking, you know, that game is old.
I do you remember that E3 for Skyward Sword where... Miyamoto tried to show off all of the stupid shit that you could do in Skyward Sword, and it was just so bad.
Yeah.
It was like embarrassing.
It was like Wii music level of
nothing like, worked, and like it wasn't really set up for him to like show it at the most like appealing moment of the game.
And from the get-go, Skyward Sword was just, it looked like such a huge step backwards, I thought, even though Twilight Princess came before it, but like I was just like, why are you making games look like this when Wind Waker is right there? Like Wind Waker was just like a gorgeous, beautiful game, and it seemed like, you know, Twilight Princess, it's fine, it's overstuffed. They made that game essentially as a compromise because people got like boners over the GameCube Legend of Zelda demo, and then when Wind Waker was revealed, you know,
it wasn't even a demo, it was like a trailer teaser.
Yeah, it was like a demo showing, like a demo reel. Like, it was a demo reel. Yeah, and then everyone got sad when Wind Waker came out because
it looked good,
because it looked incredible. So they literally, like, Twilight Princess exists. That was the original, The Rise of Skywalker, a game made because of fan backlash that shouldn't have mattered. And then, you know, Skyward Sword was like always this. In between, it was like, oh, remember when like all the early buzz was coming out, and like concept art, they're like, we're going to make it look like Renaissance paintings and Rembrandt. Yeah, yeah. And then it didn't. It was just an excuse for like the Wii's like shitty graphics. But I digress.
Yeah, but I thought that the way that Aonuma showed off all the new abilities that Link had was just so effortless. It was such a smooth, like fun to watch video. Yeah. And
it's kind of like what you would do playing if you had 10 minutes in the booth playing it at an E3 or something. Like,
he just showed like really well, like, oh, you can make a boat.
Yep. And they did the great callback. He's like, oh, you saw in the previous trailers, he was in a hot air balloon, a boat and a vehicle. These are actually not in-world items. You make them. Like he showed that off, was like such a cool Nintendo thing to be like, oh, the thing you thought was, oh, Link doesn't need a pony anymore because he has a car. It's like, no, you build these things.
Yeah. And I love that, like they showed off a new enemy. And then all the different ways you can take it down. I love that at the beginning it was like, oh, you've got to fight him with a stick and then the stick breaks. And I could immediately feel like all the people that hated the weapon breaking stuff.
They're going, no. But it's like now you can fuse with a rock.
Make a big hammer.
You know that like YouTube is going to be making videos about this game for 15 years. Like, you know how every time I fire up YouTube, I still get breath. Like
I'm
33 things.
So many people like, oh, I'm a bit annoyed that like this didn't really wow me in terms of like this mechanic is so fucking game changing.
It's a game changer. And I think it's going to require you to play it for a lot of those naysayers for it to like kick in.
Like he's only scratched the surface.
Oh, they're purposely not showing us anything. Yeah. Like the coolest thing was, you know, think of those useless items you get in Breath of the Wild that you kind of use like while crafting things.
Like monster items.
Monster eyes. Like, and now you put that on a bow and arrow. It's a homing eye. Oh, like
God, that's the best.
That's some Kojima level shit. It was just like weird out the box stuff. I like the traversing alone is gonna change like this.
I'm so that. Excited for this Same. Game, man. It's like, May 12th or something.
Yeah, we got like May 12th. We've got like 5, 6
Dude,
weeks.
I like go to Japan, come back 2 weeks, it comes out.
I mean, geez. Wow, that's such a...
Thanks, Nintendo.
Yeah, that's obviously directly linked. Wow, I love that for you.
So you've been playing a bit of... still playing the Metroid remake.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great time. And then I've been playing... our friend Tommy told me that I had to check out the Bayonetta Origins.
Oh, I hear it's fine.
So... It is one of the shittiest openings to a game I've ever played.
Talk me through it, Big Chief.
It's like extremely British, and this chick is the little girl is training to become a
witch.
Why
is it British when it's extremely Japanese?
Well, like Bayonetta has a British accent. Remember how like, the woman?
Oh yeah, the library.
The voice actor who just putting on an English accent wanted more money. But so it's like this little kid whose mum is missing. She's trained to be a witch.
Hectic.
And she's been forbidden to go into a forest, but the game takes place in this magical forest. So, you know, you escaped
That's
the forest.
Classic though, huh?
To get to that point, it's the slowest slog of an hour. It's like told in like picture book style, and it allows you to kind of skim through dialogue, but not really. Like, it will read to the end, and then it will like stop, and then it will have you have to push a button again, and then it turns the page. It just like, it takes such a long time to get into this game. But once you do, so the left stick controls like this little witch, and then the right stick controls like this big monster that you've summoned. And so it's essentially just a really fun puzzle adventure game where you're playing with twin sticks. A little bit like that Brothers game that was on PlayStation and Xbox ages ago, where one stick controlled one brother, the right stick the other.
Can't remember.
Well, yeah, this one you have like, yeah, and like the monster can go some places that the witch can't, and the monster can't go if there's like rosemary. He like hates rosemary because it is like demons can't walk through it or whatever. So you've got to figure out a way for the monster to come to you, and then you've got to like fight big bosses together. It is really fun once it gets going, but God, it takes a long time to get going. I was like, you know when you're like someone recommends you something and the whole time you're like slogging through, you know, you're just like, what the fuck? My friend sucks.
Yeah.
Why did he tell me to do this? Was this a prank? I mean, is this
a setup? Is this where's the hidden camera?
I've been punked. Am I on Jamie Kennedy's, what's it called? X'd?
You got X'd. Jamie Kennedy Experience.
Yeah, that's right. But would he say that? You've been X'd?
Yeah. Was it a Jamie Kennedy Experience though?
I mean, as far as I know, he's not on the vocal talents of this game.
Oh, yeah. What character would you have him be?
I've met three so far and none of them.
Are you liking it at all?
I really am now.
Okay.
But it just took a while. Like, yeah, like I said, I should preface it. It does get really good. And then like the puzzle mechanics of controlling both characters is really well
done.
Does
it feel at all like linked to Bayonetta?
No, that's the funniest cool. thing. That's yeah. cool though. It's like, so, it feels so different. It doesn't feel like a platinum game at all either.
That's so interesting.
I think they developed it, but yeah, it's so out of left field for this to exist.
How much is it? Like full price game?
I was given a code, so I've got no idea. Tight. But yeah, it's a good time. It's pretty cool. Anyway, let's take a quick word from Angus's favorite president, and then we'll come back with a little bit of John Wick 4 talk.
Let's hit it. Oh.
And now, a word from our really, really great sponsors. Trust me, I know a lot about good deals, folks, and this is...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's a great deal.
And we're back. Thanks, fellas. Thanks for that great product read. Look, we're going to note, Levins is going away with his family to, live out his Everett Ross dreams as being the only white guy in a monoculture.
I'm doing the Everett Ross challenge, and basically what you do, you've got to jog while listening to the Red Hot Chili Peppers in every country.
You've got to be in a mono. No, you've got to be in a monocultural country, and you're the minority. So you're going to be cosplaying there. You're going to be, going to the Disneyland with their Avengers University, whatever their theme park thing is, and standing around in your best suit, hair comb back. Just looking like a CIA man.
Yeah, I wonder if you could, if you're like a white guy and who lives in Japan, you're going to get any Disney role you want. You're
getting heaps of work.
You could be Lightyear. You could be Captain Jack Sparrow.
You could be Aladdin.
Do you reckon if I just rock up in a suit, people might go, that's Everett
Ross.
They'll
take photos with you. Yeah. Yeah. I like that, there's two characters in the entire MCU who work in, the CIA and the army, and they both white guys with the surname Ross, but neither of them are related.
Mm.
That's awesome.
Yeah, totally.
It's very, awesome for me.
not as awesome as the Atuma arm that you're now the proud owner of. What are you going to do with that?
That's going to be crazy. I stick it on things.
Yeah, fun.
Yeah.
Shake its hand. Yeah. But you finally saw John Wick Chapter 4.
I went on Monday night. And like, it's about time.
Yeah, I had the fun of trying to talk about it last week without spoiling it for you at all, but now we've both seen it. We won't get into spoilers straight away, but what do you think?
Official Wick ranking for me is, I believe, I mean, 4 is, for me, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Then number one, just because of like, it's very much that Star Wars A New Hope, where it's a great standalone. It does a little bit of world building, and it could be a standalone film. But
the only thing that's some one from being at the top for me is the stunts get infinitely better.
100%. That's why 4 is number one.
Movies. Yeah, yeah.
I think for me, I'm a little bit more into 2 as well.
I've been thinking about it. 4, 2, 1, 3, but I think 2 and 1 are tied.
4, 1, 2, 3, I think.
Okay.
Just like, 3 I like, but it really loses me, I think, like as soon as they leave New York and go to Morocco, and there's that stuff with Halle Berry, yeah, the desert stuff. I'm like, this is too bloated now. And the scenes in New York, though, that bookend that film, awesome. Opening with him like running to the library, running to the like the equestrian center when he's on the horses. Then the ending where they like just take on all of the high tables, people inside the Continental. Love that. But that fucking desert scene is, to me, worse than like some of the Italy scenes, which bore me a bit in John Wick. I just love when it's in New York. Like, to me, yeah, New totally. York is John Wick. But however, 4 bucks the trend, where I was like really into the globetrotting.
All the globetrotting was sick. And even like the lore, it felt more concise and focused.
It was barely that. Like, the lore was like not a, like, whereas the other ones, it's a lot of explaining stuff. This just doesn't really.
It feels, everything feels very personal to, yeah, John Wick's relationship to the characters within all the different roles you're meeting, as opposed to just like, you know, well, this is the world, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this was like, yeah, it's all been directed by this one dude, Chad, right?
Chad Stilinski.
Chad Stilinski. I like Chad. Chad. Hollywood Chad. Has he done all 4 of them?
Yep.
Who did Deadpool?
Chad Stilinski. So the first movie, while it's credited solely to the Chad, it is actually a joint direction with the guy who ended up doing Deadpool 2.
Tim Pool.
And it's really funny because their careers are like inverse opposite. Like John Wick 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 is, they're all great films, I think. Mm. And like very original action based, awesome world building. And they all glow up. But the other director, I forget his name, whoever did Deb, it's just like the opposite.
Yeah. Did he do Bullet Train?
Yeah. Which
I didn't mind that. That was
refused
fine.
To see.
Why?
It just looks like a movie that should be out on DVD in 2004 as a response to Kill Bill.
Yeah, but I kind of enjoyed revisiting that era.
I don't at all. I was like, those. No one cares about those movies. They care about the ones they
Tim imitated. Miller.
No, not Tim Miller. It is...
Yeah, that's who directed Deadpool.
But the guy I'm thinking about is... Okay, maybe I'm doing Deadpool 2.
Oh.
I'm one-upping you. David Leitch.
Okay, right.
Whose films are... Okay, get this. So he did co-director of John Wick. Mm-hmm. Then he did Atomic Blonde, which was like...
Isn't whatever. That okay? I've never seen it.
Haven't seen it. Then Deadpool 2. Fast and the Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw. I
hate that.
Bullet Train
movie.
And Fall Guy.
What's Fall Guy?
That's the one that's shooting with Ryan Reynolds now. Sorry, Ryan Gosling now in Australia.
Okay, right. Shooting.
But Hobbs and Shaw...
What's the one where Ryan Reynolds is in like a video game?
Free Guy. Starring Taika Waititi.
Damn, man.
Yeah, a lot of guy movies. It's a good, it's a good day to Guy Hard.
Guy Hard would be a good.
Yeah, so he's just had like kind of like everyone's like comparing the two filmographies, and his kind of is a stonker.
So all right, well, so Tim Miller, he did the first Deadpool.
Yeah, different. This guy's not involved with John Wick.
What? Then he did Terminator: Dark Fate.
Yeah,
he was the executive producer on Sonic the Hedgehog.
This guy is kind of cool though, when you think about it.
And then he did a lot of Love, Death, and Robots. Weird, weird, weird careers to follow.
Very weird. But Chad Stileski, just like, I think a great career.
So what did he do before John Wick?
He was a stunt guy.
Just a stunt guy?
Yeah. Well, not just a stunt guy. He was a stunt guy. John Wick 1 is his directorial debut.
Yeah.
He's been in the industry for like 30 years though.
But so John Wick was...
He was famously Keanu Reeves' stunt double for all the Matrix films.
Okay, yeah,
stunt
sure.
coordinator, stunt double. They developed a close relationship. And that's why like everybody's like, these film sets are amazing, because he's such a respectful dude.
Yep. Yeah, sweet. So all he's done film-wise...
John Wick 1 to 4. yeah, as a director.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And now he's either got a Rainbow Six film with Michael B. Jordan, a Highlander reboot with Henry Cavill, and there's another project. Oh, and Ghost of Tsushima. They're like one of the three projects he's going to do next. He's done. He said he's done with John Wick for a while.
Yeah, and when we talk about this movie, you'll understand why. Should we get into spoilers?
Yeah, why the hell not?
Okay, cool. Well, okay, if you haven't seen this movie, it gets both the fanboys thumbs up.
Oh, huge thumbs up. But like, I put it on, like, it sits on the mantle, the same shelving unit. I'm not too sure of whereabouts things are placed on said shelving unit, but for me, it's next to, like, Top Gun, Maverick, Mad Max,
Fury
Road.
Down your Evangelion Christmas statues.
Oh, I just had my rental inspection today and I was like, I don't like Michael Jackson's enough, but 2 14-year-old girls dressed as sexy Santas, I'm like, they will call the police on me.
That's
so this is like a literal decision. So I put up this 3D beautiful ceramic Jar Jar mug.
Jar Jar
which
Binks.
I got off. Which I think, you know,
landlords love Jar Jar Binks.
Well, you know, Michael Jackson wanted to play Jar Jar Binks.
Of course.
He approached George Lucas. And
I reckon that would have sounded.
I think it would have sounded a little something like this. Annie, are you okay? No. But you know, Ahmed Best has had a great week given his return to the Star Wars universe.
This is your tribute to him.
This is my tribute to him.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Keller and Beck, Jedi
John,
Master.
John Wick, chapter 4. So yeah, like I was saying last week that like I think this easily has last week I was saying that yeah, this has like probably the best action sequence of the entire franchise is the
some of the best action sequences
Triumph.
I've ever seen,
and I love the fight scene between with the stunt guy who with the gold teeth, or the fuck
Scott Adkins.
Scott Adkins, yeah. His character. I think that's like the best fight scene for me, and then the best action scene for me is the insane fight that happens around the Arc de Triomphe.
My favorite fight scene was the I love the Miami Hotline.
Hotline Miami.
Yeah. Hotline Bling.
Top down.
That was just like
isometric.
And again, said to you last night, but I'm like, that is the new Daredevil hallway scene.
It'll be referenced forever. Yeah.
That will be replicated by so many things, but will never, ever come close to what I witnessed in that theater for the first time. Namely, the ammunition he uses set people on fire, which is just like, I love that. It's like, man, this scene already rules. It takes a true visionary to say, do you know what's going to make it even better?
Yeah.
That when they get shot, they light on fire. Just like superb. And I loved the Any Donnie Yen scene with, I loved the doorbells. I really loved that Osaka scene. It felt, because it was the first time we'd seen like a lot of sword fights in John Wick. And it turns out it rules. out the sword fight is brilliant.
Yeah.
But yeah, hard for me to decide. Like I this film, what I love about it, it covers the span of like kung fu, sword, energy, but then also like Western draw energy with the end. Like it's every type of fighting.
Yeah, totally.
And none of it ever feels too much.
The duel at the end is amazing.
Superb. And it's like the smallest duel, you know, if this is truly the end of the series, it's great that it goes out with two people dueling, not
with like shitty old dueling pistols. Yeah, how good is fucking, what's his name again?
Clancy Brown.
Clancy Brown.
Yeah.
And as like the kind of like elderly
Tom Clancy Brown.
Yep.
He wrote a lot of books.
Yeah,
no, he's great. It's kind of like the high table rep.
And fully spoiling it now. John Wick dies at the end of this one.
Presumably John Wick dies. Yeah. We don't see a body per se, which I think is you know, just some clever backdooring in case anything happens,
yeah.
But we see him slump, and then we cut to a gravestone with a...
It says John Wick, wife guy.
Wife, yeah,
ultimate
total
wife
guy. Yeah, this guy fucked. definitely had sex. Yeah, and, you know, both of them have said they're happy to bow out now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it is a business. This movie made a lot of money. It's the highest opening for a John Wick film. And while, you know, the Wickverse will be explored in the Continental series and Ballerina... it could be the end for mainline John Wick, though I doubt it. I'd love it if it was.
Yeah, I'm not really looking forward to either Ballerina or I feel like give it all a bit of space now.
Yeah,
and then spin it off.
Though it is such a like great universe.
It totally is, but just
and
keep,
we've obviously
let it,
got
let
the
breathe.
Rina Sawayama spin-off potential with the post-credit scene.
Yeah,
With her exacting revenge on Donnie Yen.
Mm-hmm.
I love that Donnie Yen's character is called Kane because he's blind. That's awesome.
Simple.
Yeah. Donnie Yen, not blind in real life, needs...
plays great.
Bears repeating, but really good at playing the, you know, scene-stealing blind guy in his films. I loved him, man. I just think like John Wick is such a positive force for cinema.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's like, you know, it is going to be that and Tom Cruise, which gets stunt work pushed over to the like, you know, if you're like handing out awards for makeup and visual effects, like it still just absolutely blows my mind that stunt work doesn't get a look in
absolutely
high-end awards. But I think that like it's the Wick, it's the Mavericks that are going to get, and the Mission Impossibles. Like this year's just looking fantastic for films that aren't just part of a Disney phase big, fun of blockbusters Marvel that, slate. You know, it feels really, really exciting.
Good stunts in the Fast movies too.
Yeah. I mean, that's in like 2 months.
So let me get this straight.
So this year we've got Mission Impossible 7.
I've got 1 month in Japan.
Yeah.
Come back 2 weeks, Breath of the Wild. Two weeks after that.
We got Fast 10. We've also got then also in June or July, Mission Impossible 7, Dead Reckoning.
Damn.
It's a good time to be alive. And then the Marvels at the end of the year.
Unless you're Kevin Feige.
But then the Marvels coming out at the end of the year. Yeah. So that's huge.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
You got Ms. Marvel with her handsy dad.
Oh, God. And you got Captain Marvel.
You got Captain Marvel, which her, audience is
Nintendo Switch.
Fully on board.
Nintendo Switch loving Captain Marvel.
Yeah. And then the character from WandaVision who walked through the force field. And I can't wait to see what all three of them.
I can't wait to see that great character fleshed out even more, if you can believe it.
I can't wait to see what they're cooking
than in the Marvels. WandaVision. This just keeps being like, oh, like John Wick Chapter 4 really felt like, oh no, these are the kind of movies that I would rather see on a big screen than like CGI bullshit affairs.
The thing with like the latest slate 2 of Marvel is like visually there's very little difference between their television and cinematic offering. You know what I mean? Like it's just like this super flat looking thing.
Yeah.
And John Wick is one of the... like, holy shit, in four movies, this guy's gone from directing a very, very, very well-made action film that looked good, I thought had a, like, visual identity of its own, slightly stylized. This film is, like, there are some shots where he just lets that shit roll for 20 seconds and nothing is really happening on screen, but it's more about the color. The lighting in this movie is incredible. Like, mm-hmm. This movie, you're going to be seeing this film screenshot and posted a lot on, like, film Twitter.
Absolutely.
Like, it's some of the most gorgeous. Like, it's up there with, like, I thought the Batman was one of the best looking last, like in terms of stylized color and stuff. It looks like there are shots that rival Dune and the Batman, which I think in my mind are, like, some of the most beautiful looking recent films.
And, like, yeah, that's the groundedness of a movie like the Batman. Like, that is always more appealing than, like, how... like the Marvel movies now just feel so far from grounded.
Oh, like, and it's the homework too, as we always say. Like, it's like if you get in now at like this level, you're just like, well, fuck, I gotta watch 90 things before I get this. But obviously John Wick's not grounded. We presuppose that.
I mean from an action level.
No, but I mean what's brilliant about it is grounded. Like, while it's fantastical in its like underground society of 50% of the world's population
are assassins,
and there's, you know, a bartering system with coins and getting branded and stuff like that. It never once doesn't feel grounded.
Mm-hmm.
Even though now they wear like beautifully tailored suits, which are bulletproof, which
you
is just
a hide behind your sleeve.
It's
and
so good, man. Just so like, silly. I fucking love that. So brilliant, man. I just laughed throughout the film in that same sense that when you're on a ride, like a roller coaster and like, the pure joy, and maybe it's a bit of fear, it's a bit of adrenaline, but you just start laughing. That was me during John Wick. Just so many oof moments, or just like, hell yeah, dude moments.
Did you enjoy Mr. Nobody?
He was fine. He's, to me, was like the weakest part, I think.
Yeah, right.
To me, I was just like...
I guess his motivations were the least clear out of everyone.
I mean, I was trying to think about that. He seemed to have a ledger in his... he had that little diary that was like, Ellie's notebook from Last of Us.
He didn't want to take out John. He wanted to raise John Wick's ransom.
To take that.
Exactly, yeah.
To me, he was very like, he was like rugged Wick. He had the dog.
Yeah.
But he was also like kind of, I wanted a bit more. Though I'm sure he was introduced for that very reason to get more later. He was like outdoor type John Wick.
His and the end of his story is weird. Him just like drinking a beer with his dog on the bench. Yeah. Like, yeah, it doesn't.
No. Whereas like Donnie Yen made a lot of sense, and you're just like,
yeah.
The great thing about Keanu and John Wick's age is you're allowed to just throw in characters that, you know, reinforce the fact he's had like a very long career.
Yeah.
I'm still curious because I rewatched all the 1-3 in the lead up of 4.
The oeuvre.
And we're constantly told about this like one last job that John Wick did that got him out of the game.
Oh.
We still don't know what it is.
I hope they don't make that into
a movie. No, but I'm just like, I thought we were going to see that in 4. I have it referenced, but the best thing about not knowing what it is that you can keep introducing characters that are attached to it.
Yep.
And are using it as like a, you know, grounding point for their relationship with John.
Yeah.
So dude, I love it. Like Keanu Reeves says less in this film than he has in any of the others. And 50% of his lines are, yeah. And it fucking rules.
It's so good.
He's so good, man.
He has so much fun with this
movie. I love him much. And there was just like, I love the stories that come out around this film. Like there was a little viral clip this week of them shooting that awesome sequence. It's like akin to that, like Abbott and Costello. Oh no, Laurel and Hardy scene where they're on the steps in like, you know, somewhere in Los Angeles and like they're pushing a piano up and it's going down. Like, you know, that old like classic, like, and he's got that sequence in him in like Paris at the end where they're going up the steps and he keeps
just falling to air.
But he's helping the crew just carry everything up after the shot, and the crew's trying to take it off him. And he's like, mm-mm. And he's just got like huge boxes in his full makeup, his suit, everything. Just like the dude who's always helping out on sets and buying everyone like motorbikes and Nerf guns and stuff.
I hope he gets something else as cool as John Wick next. Like,
I mean, that was what happened when John Wick happened. Everyone's like, oh, I'm so glad Keanu's got this because he's got such goodwill. John Wick is so responsible for this like third wave comeback.
Do you remember like the glow up? Yeah, like when it was like, I think it was like in between John Wick 1 and 2 or whatever. And then it was, we got Bill and Ted's.
Yeah,
a reunion that sucked.
And he's great in Toy Story 4 as Duke, action figure.
I know his parts were fine, but obviously Cyberpunk wasn't initially well received at all.
No,
but I hope
that, his enthusiasm alone though was just like, awesome.
The press surrounding that was so, but that added to why it didn't live up to his expectations
and led to a great meme with the small Keanu.
Yes, yeah,
I think he's great. I want the best for Keanu, and I just want to see him in more things.
Yeah, we're just only saying
100%. No one less says lines. The word I wanted to be non-verbal by the end of it.
Yeah.
So we've still got way more to talk about. We'll jump into this week's PayFam. If you want to hear more of us just talking shit
John Wickerverse.
John Wickerverse. But we're going to talk about the return of the disgusting brothers themselves, Tom and Greg. We've got Succession has started. We're going to talk about
Succession season 4. You watched the first. Like, yeah, we did a flip. I'd watched John Wick 4.
Yeah.
And you'd watch Succession.
It's all about 4s, baby. 1, and series 4. If you want to hear more, you just head over to patreon.com/heyfam. You sign the fuck up. It's the end of the month. You're gonna get access to hundreds of episodes. Download them all. Sell your phone. Unsubscribe. It's gonna be like Flappy Bird. You're gonna have one of the only devices.
Yep.
With the Canberra episode on there, maybe. That's gonna outbid anything on Flappy Bird. But you may be noticing we're going a little quick. Levens is going away, but we still want to give you guys content.
We're banking some good shit.
We're banking some apps. We're gonna do like a bunch of apps, but I'm not sure if there'll be some PayFam for a while. And you know what? That's okay.
Yeah. If you want to catch up with
HeyFam, you're going to be joining the HeyFam Discord. If you sign up for $5 a month, where Levens and I will be giving you a virtual.
If you want my the updates from my Japan trip, say no more, fam. I'm going to start a channel.
Also,
every day I'm going to be dropping pics.
Noon and I will be doing the much anticipated renovations reaction episode while you're away.
It's a really good time to join PayFam, I think. So head over to patreon.com.
Who knows how many episodes of renovations reactions we'll be doing. Could be one, could be five.
Is that how many episodes they're making?
I don't know.
Let's say 10.
I mean, I'm not doing a reaction. I mean, I'll probably binge
it. I'm going to put it out there. 10 episodes.
Not doing HeyFM, we've realized.
Who cares?
Yeah, we don't care.
Hit stop.
Let's talk.
Yeah, it's PayFam time. Come over to patreon.com/HeyFam. $5 a month. Best $5
you ever spent. Wear your best bulletproof suit and come get shot.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.